You're listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of Mulberry.
So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
It's the Lunchtime Show with Bill and Jason, live from the Mulberry Food Court.
I said lunch, not lunch!
Lunchtime show. I'm trying to see how deadpan I can do it every lunchtime show. Hey, Bill, it's the lunchtime show. Welcome.
Thank you.
To lunch.
I feel welcome now.
It is October 24, 2007. That's right. 2 days until I am 36 years old. Years young. Yes.
Yikes.
And it's the lunchtime show. Wednesday, anything can happen day.
It's hump day.
Or Bionic Wednesday. Nah, they dropped that, didn't they?
Did they already?
Now it's Phenomenon Wednesday.
Phenomenon Wednesday, great. I can't wait to watch Uri Geller.
Stare at you. I'm so sick of those promos.
I can bend spoons, you prick.
They're walking in the desert, and it's slow motion, and there's doves flying. And I love he's...
Out of mirrors, no less.
It's comical the way he's, like, staring, like, beady-eyed at the camera, like, I'm in slow motion.
I can brainwash you and bend a spoon.
Watch Chris Angel's abs.
Yeah, those are some screwed up abs, though, man. They're all, like, veiny.
Have you seen
shit.
Anybody more, like, let me open my shirt here. Oh,
yeah.
I'm flexing.
More obsessed with themselves.
Yeah. Chris Angel. Hey, dude, how about, here's an illusion for you. Pull out a comb and comb your hair, dude.
Chris
hair looks
Angel
retarded.
Is a douchebag illusionist.
I think I'm a rock star. No, you're a crappy magician, dude. I love how, basically, I didn't know what this was at first. Like, are they just doing tricks or some shit? But apparently...
Yeah, I had no idea.
They're trying to find the world's next greatest mentalist, as they call it.
Bless me, thank me.
S'more.
Well, isn't that... what's that one guy's name? That
mentalist.
Comedian mentalist. The Amazing Jonathan or whatever. Wonder if he'll be on there.
So, what is this mentalist crap? Aren't they just magicians?
Yeah.
Uri
it's like
Geller.
All of a sudden they came up with, like, well, magicians, so, you know, taboo. We're mentalists.
I remember, I love this guy, The Amazing Randy.
James Randy.
He wrote these books like Flim Flam, and basically it's, his whole thing is pointing out that someone doesn't really have powers when they say they do. Like, it's all right to say...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's all right to say you're an illusionist or you're a magician, but when some guy's like, no, I have powers, that's when he's like, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to prove you don't, and he usually does. And Uri Geller is one of those guys that, for years, he said that he had powers. But James Randi would do every trick he could do to show that, see, I don't have powers. This is how I did it. This is how he does it. He doesn't have any powers, okay?
That's funny.
And that, I love stuff like that. I can't remember what it showed. Maybe it was with Penn and Teller. They did this special where people who said they had paranormal abilities, they'd set up these tests to test them. Like someone who had X-ray vision They had a woman who could see auras. Like, I can I can see people's auras. So they said, okay, here's 10 doors. There's 5 people standing behind one of the 10 doors. If you can see an aura, and now you said you could see at least an aura 3 feet above someone's head, didn't you? She said, yes, I can. Okay, tell us behind which doors are the people's auras, you know, the auras you see. You should be able to see them above these doors. So she was like, okay, there's someone behind door number 1, and they open it up. There's no one there, and they go, I'm sorry, you got it wrong. You don't have any abilities. And they didn't let her try anymore after that. That was it.
That's funny.
You got one wrong. You don't have powers. That's what I love. They did they did another one with divining rods, you know, where you could find water. And they buried water, and they gave the guy the thing, and they said, okay, you tell us where the water is. And he'd walk around, and he goes, there's water here, here, and here. So they dig up the first one. Sorry, there's no water there. You have no abilities. That divining rod doesn't work. I just love that.
That's crazy, because I've actually seen people, like, growing up out in, you know, I went to a school, an elementary school out in the country, and the flood went dry, and people came out, and the guy had one of those rods, and he nailed it, man. They dug down with that gigantic thing, and there was water there. So
see, he has
maybe
powers.
It's more of just like a 50-50 chance. I don't think he claimed to have power. He's just a well digger that knows when the thing is right, but that's hilarious. I love that they do that whole bullshit thing.
What do they call it? Chicanery?
Chicanery.
But I can't wait to see who America's next mentalist is. I don't know who last year's mentalist is, nor do I give a shit.
No, I really could give a crap. That stuff just doesn't appeal to me at
all.
The
most annoying thing is watching Heroes and seeing that dove fly across the screen every 5 minutes to tell us
phenomenon. Oh my god, yeah. I was like, how did a dove get in that loft? Oh, it's an ad. Like, I seriously thought there was a dove flying through the apartment of Mohinder and...
And look, it's crying.
God. So that's what it sounds like when doves cry.
Oh, sorry about that.
Quite possibly one of the worst movies, but best soundtracks.
What is that weird shit going on in that song?
Who knows? Maybe, you know, Prince had a great idea from some singing at the Kingdom Hall and decided
maybe
to put
I'm
it
just
in.
Like my father. He's never satisfied.
Okay, you're scaring me.
You know,
me
Prince's
now.
Best song ever was Bat Dance.
Ding, 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 Vicky, ding, Vicky ding, ding.
Hey, Ducky, stick the 7-inch in the computer. Ha, 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 ha. Huh? What the hell is
that
shit about?
Bad.
So how you doing today, Bill?
I'm hanging in there. I'm always happy around noon because I get the mail, and I've been getting a bunch of crap off eBay, so it's like Christmas
nice.
Every day for me.
Now, you told me you just got Night Trap.
Yeah. I got the updated version of Night Trap that they released for the 32X. It's like if you have a 32X hooked to your Sega, which is hooked to a Sega CD, this one's better than
Isn't
the other
ones.
Is
it true that if you open up the 32X, there's nothing in there? It's just a ruse?
Oh, I doubt that.
It's just like you connect it, and then you connect the cartridge to it, but it's actually nothing going on. It's just
no, I think it's probably just like a box for like extended video RAM or something to make for them to be able to do more with the system.
Right, right.
Because do you remember, like, when Virtual Racing came out for the Genesis, it was this enormous cartridge. It was, like, twice as tall as any of the other cartridges. And I think that was basically the 32X inside that cartridge. So,
wow.
Who knows?
I remember they had a special Doom on the 32X, didn't they?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
One of the worst rated games for the 32X.
Is it just they couldn't get the 3D engine down? It just couldn't do it?
I don't think there was ever really a 3D engine for Doom.
I know. Well, I mean, faux 3D.
Yeah. they have a Doom for the on Xbox Live Arcade, and it's so funny to play through that.
How does
it's
it
just
look?
It's absolutely hilarious. It looks like it did when it was on the PC, you know?
Man, that was so addictive, man. You'd be playing that Doom was. And you'd look at the clock and go, holy shit, 4 hours has just passed by. I've been sitting here forever. This friend of mine,
collecting Brent, blue keys and yellow keys and red keys.
This friend of mine, Brent, he had Doom 2, and I go over to his house. Like, we'd both have a certain day off. Dude, ask for Tuesday off next week. I got off. Okay, and go over to his house like at 10 a.m. and play Doom to like 6 p.m.
Did you ever feel like going out and shooting down a high school filled
I don't think
with kids and
it
teachers?
Wasn't realistic enough, the graphics.
Oh,
so,
really? It didn't brainwash you to want to kill people?
Yeah, it was just like, it was too pixely, I guess.
You know what's crazy is in that that Gus Van Sant movie, Elephant. The two kids are playing like a Doom variant type of game, and then they go take a shower together. And it was like,
wow.
Oh. Okay. So, Doom not only makes you want to kill people, it makes you want to have gay sex in a shower.
Huh.
I don't, it was like, sometimes Gus Van Sant is so heavy-handed with the gay stuff that it's like, dude, yes, we know you're gay. We understand.
Maybe that's how
please
he felt
stop
after playing Pong or something when he was a kid. But here's the way I usually felt after playing hours of video games. I'd have a headache and be very hungry.
So it's kind of like after smoking pot.
Yeah, I didn't feel like taking a shower or having a shower with anyone or killing anyone. I just wanted something to eat and some aspirin.
Yeah.
Who is the enemy?
Yeah, I think I get that same feeling after I play any game anymore. Maybe it's my age. I have a headache now. I need some aspirin and some food.
I
quick
need to lay down.
Stat, I need a pack of chips.
I need a snack while I'm playing. Like yesterday, after the show, we played some Halo.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, I was like, God, my head hurts. I think it's going...
Well,
it's because you're concentrating so intently on what you're doing. And I doubt you even blink very much while you're playing, you know? Well,
my head hurt because we got killed so many times.
Yeah, we're playing on... what level are we on?
What is that level called?
What does it start out as? Normal, difficult, and then legendary?
Normal, heroic, and legendary.
Oh, right now we're on heroic, right?
Yeah, we're on heroic.
And
we're on, we're at the level where you have to, you're like, it's like a sand type area.
Yeah, I pretty much die like every few seconds.
Well, we would, you know, we'd bust through the line and then end up getting ambushed and... There's just so much more people and more armor and less ammo.
We weren't feeling it yesterday. There are times where we get into a groove where we're killing everything. We're surviving by the skin of our teeth. That's when it gets exciting. When you throw that grenade at just the right time and you avoid death or you hit somebody just at the right time.
You're right.
You just barely, by the skin of your teeth, man. Dogs of war, man. That's what it's all about. And that's why
just,
when
now
fun
it's so hard that we hardly have a chance.
I was reading online that, you know, they have arenas where you play Halo against other people.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of cheating going on. And
I heard about that.
Bungie and Xbox Live have been acquiring data and all this, and they're going to they said we know who you are and when
so
we
saw what you did.
When we lay the gauntlet down, you will know because you will not be able to connect anymore. So
they are really good about that. There was some issues with Halo 2 with that, and they
I heard what you would do is
people.
You would unplug the Ethernet cable, and you'd be able to run around and kill everybody, then plug it back in or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It's so weird. Like whoever was being the host of the match.
Well, you know what they would also do on there is two friends would get together and sign on to their own game. And earn the achievement and then, you know, just cheat to get more, a higher status, like winning games against no one.
Oh, so he'd be like, so dude, just kill me as many times as possible or something? Or
yeah, exactly. So that they could get a certain achievement or get the special armor.
Isn't
so
that
it's
funny how
cheating
people are so wrapped up in some number that means absolutely nothing?
Yeah.
It's like, look how
well,
high
it means something to them.
Yeah, it's like, look at my achievements in life. Look how good I am at Halo 3. Oh, but I cheated. It's like...
Yeah, it's funny how, like, you log on to Xbox Live and there's, like, all these people with these crazy names. Like, they think they're truly awesome. Like, yeah, I wonder how much thought you put into that one.
I found a a dad gamers clan for dads.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gamer dads.
Yeah, for gamer dads. It's like, hey, if you can only play late at night when the kids are asleep, join our thing. I was like, hey,
I think there's actually a site called GamerDad.com where it's all about...
I thought that was pretty cool, except I don't play in the middle of the night.
No.
I can't do that shit anymore.
Because you're sleeping, like everyone else.
You know, I have to get up to take my daughter to school, and if I stay up just a little too late, I feel it in the morning. I'm like, I don't want to get up.
Yeah, I'm miserable if I don't sleep, like, 8 hours.
I gotta go to bed now when I'm supposed to. I can't... Like, just the other night, my wife was sick of me. Like, we watched Dexter together, and there was one... the second week, she went ahead and watched it when I went to bed. So she's waiting for me to watch that episode so we can watch the rest together. So she's like, you need to stay up tonight and watch Dexter so we can watch the new episode tomorrow. I was like, okay. So I watched it, and it was great and everything, but just that little extra hour in the morning, I feel it. It's pathetic.
Well, you know, that's getting older.
Yeah, you know it's bad when you go in to your daughter and go, how'd you like to stay home from school today? No, I wouldn't do that.
I guess I'm just not the type that, like, I could stay up and then wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I just need my coffee. Like, well, I'm not like that. Coffee doesn't make me wake up. I'm just kind of...
If I can instantly get in the shower, it helps.
Yeah, that always helps.
I remember for work when we'd have to be at work like at 5 for inventory. Oh my God, that would be brutal.
Because inventory sucks. Because any form.
Inventory, you know, it's different if you get up and then you start doing something. But if you get up, you get ready and you go somewhere and there's a lot of sitting around, then you're screwed. Yeah. Because I'd be like, oh, I'm going to take a nap here on this desk. I miss that because, you know, everyone would have
napping
to,
on desks.
No, inventory, because it was kind of fun because everyone would have to be there early in the morning and there'd be nothing to do, so you just goof off and you could have a lot of fun. Everyone's sleepy.
God, I remember being a kid helping my dad do inventory at a plant that he ran, and it was because he worked in the paper industry. You just had to go around, and I would be the one that would squeeze through the small areas in between the gigantic rolls of paper that weigh a gazillion tons. And it just was, it was like, it was all night long, it was constant, it was, oh, I hated it. Every once in a while, I would be able to sneak away and sit in the security guard room with the guy and watch hockey.
Nice.
But it wasn't often. That was during the whole Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup run, so I was really into hockey then. So
awesome.
It was like much more important to me to do that than count rolls of paper.
I used to like when my dad would let me skip school and go with him to work.
That was always fun because you felt like, you know, you were someone.
I remember I felt special because there was a Dairy Queen across the street and he'd give me money, go buy us lunch. So I can run across the street and bring back lunch. It was cool.
Dairy Queen lunches are awesome.
I would have like, the dude.
Oh, God, I remember that.
The dude. It's basically a chicken fried steak sandwich.
Yeah. They always had the best baskets.
Yeah.
You know, like you could get the
Hunger
the
Buster.
Chicken strips with the country gravy.
Yeah.
And their fries are always so good.
I would always have
because they made all that stuff to order. It wasn't like under a heat lamp at McDonald's.
They had this one. It was like a belly buster with fries, a Coke, and a sundae. And that's what I would always get as a kid.
Nice.
You always have that sundae sitting there. Ah, when I'm done eating, I can eat that sundae.
Great. Now after the show, I'm going to have to go to Dairy
Queen. Dairy Queen. I don't even
There's
know.
Actually a Dairy Queen drive-through about 5 miles from my house, so great.
They started disappearing around here in Texas. They were everywhere when I was a kid, but it's hard to find one now. I don't know what happened.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I love going to Dairy Queen and getting like a Blizzard or... You know what I used to love as a kid? Every time we go to Dairy Queen, I get a vanilla cone dipped in the cherry coating. And that was like, that was heaven for me.
Yeah,
I'd get like a large one and never be able to eat the whole thing. It would melt all over me, but I didn't care.
I loved the Dilly Bar, but it was impossible to finish without spilling everywhere. Because you start eating it, it falls up to pieces.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you need an anti-gravity field around it to eat it.
The Dilly Bar anti-gravity shield. Maybe Clark Griswold could develop that since he's into food additives.
I'll never forget. I think it
non-lucrative cereal varnishes.
In third grade, I didn't understand this joke at the time, and now that I do understand it, it still doesn't make sense and it's not funny, but this kid was like, how do you know Ronald McDonald's gay? I don't know. How do you know Ronald McDonald's gay? I saw him in Dairy Queen eating a dude.
Oh, God.
And that was the joke. I still remember the kid who told me. It was this kid, Nathan.
Dairy Queen dude.
And that joke stuck with me for the rest of my life.
Well, you know, it was... Ronald McDonald gay stuff was always...
he was
you know,
in... I saw him in Dairy Queen eating a dude.
Then there was, what else?
So is that
there?
Basically, is that a tossed salad joke in the third grade? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Do you think even the kid who told that joke even understood the joke?
Oh, hell no. No one knew what it meant. They're just like, yeah, he's eating a dude.
He's gay. Gay sex.
He's eating him. He's actually devouring from the head down.
It's like, wouldn't he be a zombie? How does that make him gay? I don't understand.
He's a gay zombie because he prefers dudes. Oh!
Ew. I don't need female zombies. They eat dude zombies. You know, I'll never forget the time. I think it was it like on PBS or something. I was by myself and Night of the Living Dead came on and I watched it. And it was
on
like
PBS?
Something like that.
The public broadcasting system is showing Romero films?
That's hilarious. This is my memory. It could have been the channel next to it on the dial.
What happened to Monty Python and Red Dwarf?
But
showing.
It was like dusk outside. It was probably like 5 p.m. or something, or 6. And I'm watching it, and it was creeping the hell out of me, man.
Well, of course it was.
And ever since then, it was just zombies. They've been the creepiest thing to me in movies. Not vampires or anything like that. It's been zombies.
Okay, so there is a Dairy Queen in Mansfield, Texas, on East Broad Street.
Oh, nice. That's not too far from where I live.
No.
I could find it.
It's a whole Dairy Queen store. That's awesome.
Where's Broad Street?
I wonder if you'll see Ronald McDonald eating a dude.
Hey, Ronald, you're a homo.
At what point did they stop doing dudes? Like,
they still make the dude.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
But here's the thing. It's called, it's not called a dude. It's called the dude. So when you order it, would you say, I would like a the dude?
A the dude?
I would like a the dude.
You know, I remember the Dilly Bar. That was like the puck of ice cream, like with chocolate around it. But wasn't there like a Buster Bar? It was like a peanut Buster parfait, and it was
for some
like
reason they really liked the word Buster at Dairy Queen.
Yeah, there's for some maybe because you bust your belt if you eat.
You know,
there
they're
too
the
often.
Ones who started the Blizzard, chopping up candy bars and putting in ice cream.
Oh yeah, and then they'd run it through the motorboat thing. God, yeah. I love the Heath Bar Blizzards.
Everyone does that now. They all ripped it off. From
Dairy
Queen.
They call them Twisters. Or...
Yeah, it's like, dude, this is a blizzard, all right?
Speaking of, like, blizzards, yesterday I had lunch at Wendy's. I got their Southwest Taco Salad, which is awesome.
Awesome.
But they have changed the Frosty now. They've got the standard chocolate Frosty, but now they've added, like, Oreo cookie Frosties.
What?
Cookies and cream Frosties. And I didn't see it until I was pulling out, and it, you know, there was a sign as I was going out, and I was like, what the hell? You should have that sign at the beginning. I would have got it, cookies and cream Frosty, you bastards.
That's a blizzard. They ripped it off.
No, it's a Frosty, because it's made out of, like, ice milk. Like, Frosties never tasted like ice cream. They're like, you could chew a Frosty, and it would crunch. I never understood how in the hell they did that.
I think, like, McDonald's, the, what are they, those called? The, things with M&Ms?
Yeah, what the hell do they call those at McDonald's? They're not Blizzards, and they're not Twisters.
Oh,
they're,
man.
It's some sort of snow thing.
Yeah, I can't remember. But it's not even ice cream, I don't think. Isn't it frozen lard?
It's like skim milk powder shit. Again, you can chew that stuff.
It's like fat. Frozen fat.
No, I
frozen
think it's like
Crisco
frozen
with sugar or something.
Because even their ice cream, like the ice cream cones, don't taste like... It's got to be like a frozen yogurt or something, or low-fat milk thing.
What the hell is that thing called at McDonald's? Come on, Ronald.
I'm going on McDonald's.com. I don't think I've ever gone to McDonald's.com in my life. I mean, why would I ever bother going to McDonald's.com?
Well, Ronald McDonald's gay. You know how I know?
Because he's eating a dude!
And I've gotten that ice cream thing before on Bad Judgment before. Like, you know,
yeah,
I'm
so have
get,
I.
I'm going to get that.
I think
that.
When they first started making them.
A McFlurry!
McFlurry!
Just popped into my head. Yeah, how can all you got to do is put a Mick in front of it and we'll eventually come up with a name.
McShitty. What about the Shamrock Shake? They didn't even bring that around this year, those bastards. I love the Shamrock Shake, that minty, garbagey thickness. Remember, Sinbad had a whole bit about
McFatty.
The straws and McDonald's shakes. It's like, man, you are a genius. How did you think of that?
What would they give you?
Like a really thin straw so you couldn't suck the thick shake up through it. Now they even have like triple thick shakes. It's ridiculous.
Jack in the Box has the best shakes around.
I think they actually put lard in their shakes.
Yeah. You can tell when you eat it.
Lard, because you get that film of lard on the top of your mouth, like whenever you eat those Dunkin' strips that you would get from like the you know Wonder Bread store, whatever the hell it was.
The Dunkin' sticks.
Oh my god, those are awful. I mean, they were good going down, but afterwards there would be an entire film on the roof of your mouth of just lard.
Yeah.
You'd have to scrape it off.
I think they still make Little Debbie snack cakes with the Dunkin' sticks.
I think they do, too. I don't know why they would stop. Offices all over the world would go
crazy.
It's a
huge business. There's no telling in my old job how much money I put into that snack machine.
Oh, my God, those things are dangerous. I remember at one point, you know, I was like, man, if I could just get the key, or I would try and grab stuff off the bottom, because my arm was just thin enough to get under that shield. If you just opened it a little bit before the shield would go up, I'd, like, shove my whole arm in there and be able to grab some cookie or something.
Every once in a while, you'd get that, like, two bags of M&M's would fall down instead of one.
Oh, that was, like, freaking jackpot.
Yeah.
Like something would catch, like, a bag of Doritos or a cookie or something, and you get two for one and be like, oh my god! It's the best day ever.
Good
I
times.
Always kind of wondered how in the hell those spiral things worked. It's like, man, there's something up with that thing.
Whoever invented that was like, yep, it's pretty much perfect. All right, that's it. It's like, no. Maybe you should work on this a little bit longer and get it exactly right. It's like they quit too soon. Like, no, this design is close enough.
This is perfect. This little end piece here, you know, we'll just end the spiral here. We won't put anything. Because
how
you know,
many times would you scrape together some change at work, and then it gets stuck in there, and you're like, no!
Honestly, it's so funny. I did work at my dad's office when I was a kid just for extra money, and I would sneak around to everyone's desk whenever they weren't in the office and take whatever change I could find just so I could get shit out of the vending machines. I also thought it was awesome that I could get hot chocolate that had poker hands on the cups out of the machines. For some reason, the hot chocolate always tasted like coffee.
It's all going through the same tube.
Really bad coffee.
For some reason, that little sugary snack can really help a bad day go through faster.
Yeah, and then make it worse whenever the crash hits.
Yeah.
But it's good while it lasts.
You know what I think I'm going to do next week for the lunchtime shows. Because I was thinking, I didn't really want to put together a clip show for episode 100. But I was thinking, what if I put together some favorite parts of the show for the lunchtime show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week? Some of the favorite bits from the show up until 100.
That would be cool.
Like little clip shows just for the lunchtime show instead of the regular show.
Oh, okay, so we could play Halo.
Yes, exactly.
I see the reasoning behind that, and it's genius!
It is, isn't it? Nice. But plus, you know, when I think about, like I was telling you, Bill, check out Mulberry Old School. Just look at every episode we've done of Nowhere in Mulberry. I mean, one through now.
And it's amazing.
It's a huge list, and it's unbelievable how many shows we've done.
It really is. I was shocked.
How did we
do all this?
If you go back and just hit play on any one of those and just go to the middle or something, I can like listen to any one and I go, oh, wait, I remember this. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. It's a cool kind of vault of memories there, nostalgia. And I do get nostalgic about those old shows.
Sure.
It's pretty cool. And because we get all the inside jokes, too, because, you know, we were doing the show, like... There was a period of time, I think, when we just were... We hit our stride. I mean, it was the... We were talking about that horrible Jonathan Anton show.
Yeah,
blowout show every
week.
Is
that ever going to come back?
I don't know. But the drops, just everything was just gold, man.
Yeah, and this it was. You know, there was good stuff there.
The show has meant so much... to me over this time is just therapeutic doing it, but I'm not kidding, Bill. I could like do an episode of the show and I would edit it and put it out and I could listen to it like 3 times in a week.
Wow.
And be entertained by it. I would get that much.
I can't say I've ever been like that. I'll listen to it once just to see how it went and see how the final edit is and the way things work, but I've never really thought about, you know,
I would genuinely feel like, man, I've got a show. This is ours. It's, you know, I'd be like, this is all mine, really. I mean, it's just something we own and it's there. It exists. It's its own entity now. And I could like listen to it and just get a kick out of it. I could almost like take myself out of body and be somebody else listening to the show and be entertained by it. And laugh at something Steven said, or Vanessa said, or you said, and... It was just really cool. And it's funny, because there's some things maybe at the time I didn't think was funny, but I do now, or... maybe
you know, Bill, that was really rude, but it's hilarious now.
Yeah, or something Vanessa would do to get on my nerves, but now I find it a little endearing, because here's one thing after all this time, is that... our personalities come through on the show, and it would be like, oh, that's so Vanessa, or that's so Bill, that's so Steven. Really, I'm not going to say we're predictable, but we are who we are, and you get that on any time period of our show that it has existed. You know what I'm saying?
I totally know what you're saying.
So it's nice, it's familiarity, I guess, for people who like our show. Like, I remember, I think it was Don Chep one time said, he said, how'd the show go? And I was like, eh, wasn't that good. And we phoned it in or whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of clips. And he was like, nobody cares about the clips. I mean, they're turning into listen to you guys. He said, now that I know you guys from the show, I could listen to you guys talk about anything. And I was like, huh, that's pretty interesting to know that.
Yeah, I guess it's how, like a fan base that you create, and they get to know you, and they get to know your character, and they, you know... They can listen to anything you say because...
our loyal listenership.
Yeah. That's always good to know. Like, whenever we feel down that we've done something and we're not getting any feedback on it, at least we know that people are listening. They just have a life and can't really, you know, jump on the forum and go, hey, you know, kiss our ass.
Because I know there's one lady, Zebertina, in Norway, who's... I think she posted about our show like after episode 4 saying, I love your show. And it's like, wow.
And that was
some chick in Norway loves our show.
But I wonder whatever happened to her.
I think the last time I heard from her was when we were pushing for votes in the podcast awards. So she's still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's still listening. She said, I'm voting for you every day, so.
Oh, that's awesome. It's like you get to know these people, and then you just kind of, I don't know. It's like we have our core group, you know. We got Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, Don Chep, you know, Jim Lewis, Mick McCart, and we have the guys on the forums, like you know, who all do we have on the forums? Like JSR and
Swiley,
Rock, Swiley,
Swiley, and his great feedback.
Yeah.
We used to have the mystery man who would call in every once in a while.
Yeah.
Haven't heard from the Rondu. You know, I'm
almost
thinking,
what's up with Rondu?
We kind of made fun of Rondu's Comic-Con stuff, and I'm wondering if he hates us now.
Well, you know what? We make fun of him because we love him, and you know what? We would do the same thing.
Yeah,
we would absolutely do the same thing.
We do love him. But it was funny, he was like, nobody knows this yet, but Siler is going to play Spock, but like the whole world knew by the time he told us.
Yeah, that was hilarious. he's always like a day or two behind.
That was genius. That's what we love him for. Come on, the Rondu.
Very endearing.
But there are a lot of things I miss about Vanessa on the show.
Yeah, you know what? I do miss Vanessa because she was such a goofball that she would say stuff, and it was just like, oh my god, I can't remember she just said that. I can't believe she just said that.
I miss her doing the news. I mostly miss teasing her about the news, or...
Well, see, that's one thing that the audience doesn't get now with the live show, is when we would do the recorded show... Well, Andy, what about Eugene? You are Eugene, bud. So, yeah, it's Andy. I said Andy. But yeah, with Vanessa, when she would do the news and we would record the show before release, we would egg on her so bad that she would get so pissed that she would just go silent.
Yeah.
And we would have to, like, salvage it and backtrack and apologize. And, like, that whole drama there is gone, and I almost kind of miss it.
I do, too. I created a certain thing on the show. I mean,
but it's like, you would play, or, you know, you'd play drops, and she'd be like, I can't talk, I can't hear anything over these drops, and we'd just start laughing.
From week one of the show to week 100, it was the same argument. That's what drove me nuts. I was like, you're not used to this yet?
You would think that she would have gotten used to it. Like, that's what we do every week. We do, week in, week out. But then, near the end, she started getting on her soapbox. And it was like, that was even funnier.
Yeah.
Because her comments would be asinine, and then she would realize it, and then she would deny it. And it was like a whole game, the way she would talk about stuff.
I've got to have her back for episode 100.
Oh, absolutely.
It just wouldn't be right to not have her
in back. Our epic Judge Judy argument.
But the thing is, Bill, I haven't talked to her since the last conversation we had, which was that night we filled in for the live test show.
Uh-huh.
That night afterwards. I haven't talked to her since then. And when was that?
That was like 2 months? I don't know.
When we filled in for the live test show, and then we did our first live show, was episode 90 the next night.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, was that August?
God, that was
late August.
That was back then.
Yeah, so we haven't spoken since then. It's been really bad.
Wow. She just doesn't call, or you just don't...
I don't call her. We had a really bad argument. Just not good. One of those I'll see you in hell kind of arguments.
Oh, okay. Well, those I understand. I've had those before.
It's especially
tough when it's a sibling, you know?
Yeah, one of those kind of things where I'm like, I will never call her again. She will have to call me. And I'm pretty sure she said the same thing about me. I'm never calling him. He's going to have to call me. So stalemate is what we've been in ever since then.
Well, stalemates are stalemates.
So basically I would have to end the stalemate to get her on the show.
To do a... the reunion tour.
Right. And it's all just silly, stupid stuff.
Oh, sure it is. It's, yeah, I mean, and
we let it go to our heads at times. Like, you have to, like, we have to talk ourselves down like we're doing an internet radio show.
Yeah, well, also at the same time, like, when we first did the show live, it was very kind of nerve-wracking because we'd never done it.
Sure, yeah.
And now that we've been doing it for a while, it's really no big deal. You're just doing the show live.
Yeah, I used to not be able to, like, talk and watch the chat room because things would, like, get on my nerves in the chat room or... and now I just kind of, I gaze and don't let it get into my head.
What drives me nuts is Steven leaning forward to read the chat room while we're doing the show, and I'll, like, close, I'll close it real quick so he can't read it.
Or he'll lean over your shoulder while you're
That's what we used
to,
in the old days of the show, he would kind of peek over my shoulder, and I'd give him this look like, what the hell are you doing? Back the F up, bitch.
Yeah, and we'd say he'd have to be on the couch, he had to get an extension so that he could... sit on the couch in the living
That's
room
another thing.
Sat at the
like,
computer.
We talked about, like, Eugene has been on the show calling in forever, but also Steven's breathing has been a thing on the show for forever.
Yeah.
Since the first episode we ever did, like, you weren't on the first episode, Bill.
But, no, because I missed it. I forgot about it.
But it was like, yeah, it took us a while to get into, like, okay, every Saturday we're doing the show at this time. But after listening to the first show, I'm like, what is that sound? Is that Steven? What is that breathing?
The predator snort.
Yeah, and this is what's funny, you guys. Many people may not know this. I don't know if Steven will care if I say this. He probably will. He bought a new headset because he blamed the headset for his breathing. So he said, okay, I'm not using this anymore. He went and bought a brand new one. Puts it on. What's the first thing I hear? It's like, dude, it ain't the headset, all right? Here's another funny fact about Steven. No matter how often he falls asleep in front of you, he never admits that he's asleep. I wasn't asleep.
Yeah. It's resting my eyes. I was listening. Remember the show we did when he was in the hotel room?
Yes.
He fell asleep while we were doing the show, and we heard him snore, and you were like, Steven!
Yeah.
Steven!
We had just talked about My Name is Earl. That's when we talked about My Name is Earl on the show. And Steven was very, like, into it, talking about it. And then we went into Alias, which he hadn't seen. And we did this whole thing talking about Alias, and I played a clip. And you and I are talking, and I hear... I go, dude, Bill, hold on. Steven? Steven! Huh? What? And I go, dude, Steven, you were asleep. He goes, no, I wasn't. I was just resting my eyes for a second. That's what he said. He goes, no, I was just resting my eyes for a second.
I was listening.
Okay, let me say this to the whole world. There is no such thing as resting your eyes for a second. It's called sleeping.
Exactly.
Resting my eyes.
Napping.
Why are your eyes so tired anyway?
It's hard to see all day.
So fun.
You know, this past episode, and it's so funny with Steven, this past episode, when he was basically late getting in, you could hear him breathing, and every time he'd take a deep breath, you heard the snort, like the predator gargle.
Steven showed up during the opening intro to the show. Uh-huh. He walks in, he comes to sit down. It's so funny. There's so many... I was so uptight about the show early on, I'd get annoyed by anything that would go wrong on the show.
And oh, then... there's times where I'd piss you off.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a point in the show where I pissed off Vanessa, pissed off you, and I just, like, that was it. I was gone for, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah, you...
And then I realized, you know what? What am I doing? This is so stupid.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the problem with having a sister on the show. Like, do I let her deal with it like an adult, or does she want her, like, her brother to handle it or whatever? Or, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, you say she and you and her got into a verbal argument. At what point do I get involved?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. That's what makes it difficult. And that's something you don't think about in the beginning before you even start a show. Because when you first start something like this, you have no idea if you're going to lose interest in a week or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had no idea when we first started the show that we would go 100 episodes, let alone 5 episodes. So you're not going to lay down the law. Like, all right, Vanessa, here's how it's going to be. All right, Bill, here's how it's going to be. But one thing I had to tell Vanessa immediately, it was like, this is my show, and I say whatever happens. You have no say on the show, pretty much. And I had to do that because otherwise you get in arguments, creative arguments.
Yeah. Like, well, and a big point of contention with Vanessa was the news thing. Like, we would try every week and send her news stories for her to do, and then she would ignore them and end up doing some story about a woman who drowned her children.
That was the first ever thing you guys had, was basically, you said, what are you doing? Why do you keep doing these stories, these tragic stories, about women killing their children? This is a fun show. She's like, well, what do you want from me? Fine, I just
She's
won't
like,
do this.
This is important. I'm doing the news. And I'm like, get off your soapbox.
Yeah, and she was like, fine. And her typical response would be, fine, you do it. I won't ever do it again. And it'd be like, come on. What kind of adults don't deal with problems like that? Well, you should talk this out. And eventually,
yeah, take your ball and go home, dude.
Yeah, eventually we would, but we'd get old after a while. But I mean, I honestly think if I would have called her the next day, Bill, she would have been back on the show for episode 90 and so on and so on. But I just didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And
it's week in and week out.
Yeah, eventually, you know, everything I'm sure will be fine between us and all. I just haven't wanted to deal with it right now.
Yeah. There's too much in life to be dealing with right now to deal with these, like, you know, trivial, irritating things.
Yeah,
with a star
with, but at the same time, there's so much going on in the world that we shouldn't be fighting over something like this, and we should make up. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And we need Steven to play peacemaker there. See, that's the thing. I've always been peacemaker, Bill. Like, hey, let's all calm down here. And,
yeah, it gets tiring.
Yeah, and finally I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to be pissed off for a long time now. And I'm really not...
You have
not,
the right to be.
I'm not pissed off anymore. I'm genuinely saddened that Vanessa hasn't been on the show with us since we've gone live, period.
Yeah. Because they're missing some truly great moments.
Like, yeah, we chips. Are. We are. We had a camaraderie there. It's like any rock band, there are members who can't stand each other or get in fights. At the same time,
yeah.
Vanessa may have, like... you know, got into an argument with you or been mad at me, or we might have had episodes where we got along perfectly, but we would have those episodes of the show there that you could go back and listen to with all four of us there. And I always thought the show worked best with all four of us. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Because we all played off each other pretty well. But,
and,
you know, Vanessa may have been goofy.
And sometimes you and Vanessa would pick on Steven and his breathing.
Yeah, that was always fun. Steven's breathing is a... But I'd always feel bad because Steven, you know, I don't know, he's... I always kind of felt he was kind of a sensitive guy. You know, especially about the breathing.
Right, yeah. You can get sensitive about... Especially something you can't really change. I guess without an operation. Right?
Well, he could change it if
That's
he wanted to.
Yeah, he could.
He's just so stubborn. It's like whenever... He was in that car accident, and his whole chest implanted into his drive, his steering wheel. And he's like, "Oh, I'm fine. It just hurts a little bit."
Yeah,
Steven, go to the hospital.
Steven was in a motorcycle accident, and his shoulder hurt.
Oh, it was, yeah,
for like
okay,
a year,
yeah.
And he never went to.
It's like he's Dr. Phobic.
The battle over Kirk Cameron's bare breath.
That is funny.
Yeah, we definitely got to get Vanessa back for episode 100 if she's still talking to me.
If she remember how she'd be like, I want to do a segment where I talk about things that are important. And it's like, do your own show if you want that. That was a big thing that would piss her off whenever she would want to do some.
Well, her main thing was she wanted to do a video game segment.
Yeah,
and.
We still talk about video games. We just don't really, you know, get into it as much as she does.
We got a phone call, Bill. Hello?
Oh,
okay. Knives and stabbing weapons!
Huh?
Oh, no.
Hello?
Knives and stabbing weapons!
What? What does that mean?
Knives and stabbing weapons!
You want to stab a weapon? What?
Knives and folly weapons!
Nocturnal emissions, how can I help you?
Mimetic polyalloy!
How are you,
Cyberdyne,
Andy?
Cyberdyne Systems Model 101! Hello? He hung up.
Butthead. We aren't nocturnal emissions, by the way. Next you'll call in as Eugene, saying that we're from the verse.
What we need to get is Vanessa as a permanent member of Nocturnal Emissions. Her and Toby
talking about
politics.
That's genius.
I know, it would be awesome. Toby
that is
genius. And Vanessa talking
about... I would listen to that show. I would be mesmerized by it.
Like, hey, we would just set them off, call in, like, hey, Vanessa, Toby, how do you feel on abortion? Okay, gotta go. And then, like, just... an hour's worth of them talking about abortion.
Dude, you are a genius. Email Vanessa and Toby. Get them together.
The
that
Vanessa and Toby
genius.
Show. I know. I'm telling you, that show would be on satellite radio before our show would.
Oh, I know. it's like Toby. I tried to listen this past weekend, but the best night ever was when Toby said he was going to call Lucifer, and the guy was talking about religion, and he was completely toasted. He was just mumbling about shit, and I was just laughing my ass off.
Gotta
do that. That was better than the five guys around one microphone.
Vanessa on Nocturnal Emissions. And you know what's so funny is when Vanessa would, like, she flirts with guys.
Constantly.
Her and Toby flirting. Oh, man, that would be radio gold, dude.
Isn't Toby married?
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Because she would flirt with anyone. Even if it was Midget Max, she would flirt
with
him.
Well, especially reading from paper.
Oh, yeah.
The sexy
with
voice.
Her. Oh, that'll go Hi. Down in history.
Hi, guys. So here's what I'm going to do. Next week on the Lunchtime Show, it's going to be favorite moments from the show. And then we'll have episode 100 and hopefully Vanessa on the show. Bygones will be bygones. Vanessa and Bill will kiss and make up.
Well, I've never had a problem with her. She just, you know.
Well, she's had a problem with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because I'm honest, or at least, you know, abrasive. I don't know what I am, but...
Here's the thing I think is funny, though. Because, yeah, you can be abrasive to the point where, like a brother picking on a sister.
Yeah. Well, I've had three sisters, so
After the first few times of doing that, you would think she would get used to that. But
sure.
But no. I don't know.
Yeah, but she gets genuinely offended. It starts out with bite my boob, and then it turns into silent treatment.
Well, you know, like, you know what the deal was? This whole thing started with the chat room that Thursday night. She kept saying, Bill is too loud. Bill's voice is too loud. And you wrote... Oh, yeah, well, you're annoying. And that,
yeah, that's
and
right.
From that point on, that's why she's not on the show anymore.
Because I said she was annoying.
That lit the fuse to the bomb that went off after that show.
And then I told her to stop flirting with everyone.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because she was flirting, like, to the point where it was
She didn't say that part.
Yeah, she was flirting with... I don't know who she was flirting with, but it was all about her at that point. It was like nobody was listening to the show. It was just all about Vanessa in the chat room flirting and being, you know, sexually...
See, that's,
you know, a lot of sexual innuendos.
See, that's the kind of thing. You see, just, right there, from you, you have certain problems with her, like that stuff. That's the kind
yeah.
of stuff that, like... She's
well,
annoying.
I feel like she pulls the attention away from what the, you know, from what it should be on, and that's
here's what
a
I
show
if I would have been if we would have been doing the live show for a while. Here's what I should have done: immediately got her on the air and had you guys talk about it on the air live. That would have been what to do for radio. But instead, yeah. I waited till the show was over to talk to her about it, and then it blew up into something else. We should have kept
True.
It on the air with the listeners listening. Where we would have been on our best behavior and then settled it.
Well, I don't know about the best behavior thing.
Because yeah. no matter how much I argue with her, I still love her and I that
sure.
kind of thing. So
it's the same for every
And that's the same thing. When it's you and her, like if you guys aren't agreeing on something, immediately what I want to happen is for you guys to just make up over it and get along. Yeah. Because, sure. And it's not because I don't think it's good for the show. It's because it's a big waste of time to just for us to argue over petty things. That's the one thing, like, with her gone, I've learned to realize some of the things that she came to annoy me about that weren't really that big a deal. You know what I mean? For instance, like, say she did a news story that I'm like, why is she doing this? I just need to accept that.
Yeah, like Alexander Blinoff.
Yeah, I'm...
A lot of people don't even know what that is, but it's
But because she did that story, we now know who Blinoff is.
Well, I still don't, but I know the name.
A frigging news story every year from the Orient, every week, I mean... Some story from someone in Taiwan. I was like, where are you getting your news stories?
We would. It was like the... Remember one week every story she did was out of Germany?
Yes!
Like, what in the hell?
Yeah.
German News Hour.
What'll be funny is how I'm not mad about anything anymore if I call her. She's just as pissed as the last time I talked to her.
Maybe we should call her live on the air tomorrow.
Yeah, we should. I do know one thing, though, is that she doesn't want me talking about her publicly to anybody, mm-hmm. so she would be really pissed right now if she listened to this episode and probably wouldn't talk to me for another year.
Well, I think that's something, if you're going to be in the public eye,
even
if it's just a group of people that listen to a podcast, you have to be honest. You have to have
And a
your
lot
life
of times,
out there for them. It's part of the whole deal.
I always edited out confrontations we had on the air.
Yeah.
And maybe I should have left them in.
And there were plenty of them, that's for sure.
Really not.
Maybe we should do...
I can count four incidences. There was only one really bad one, but I can count three others that were over by the time the show was over. That it was no big deal.
True.
It was never
like I would. Sometimes I would genuinely feel bad and apologize right away.
And that was. That's always the best thing to do, because then it all blows over after an apology. That's what.
But
it
then
means.
She'd do something to piss me off again, and I would completely shoot that in the ass. Like just completely forgot about.
She's just like brother and sister. It's like, am I her brother? It's Bill. Well, what's going on here?
Oh man, I remember one point. There was one time where I said something to her that you didn't like, and you like tore into me, like, "Dude, that is so rude. What is wrong?" And I was just like, "Whoa."
That was one incident, but
you know what was funny about it was that I didn't mean it in the way that you or her took it. Like, but it was just we were all so on edge.
I think
at that point that it was like it just was so wrong.
But you know what? Since that happened, it was good that that happened because it got that out of the way. It's almost like when something like that happens, it causes the conversation to where you talk about tension and stuff, and you get it all out. And everything was okay between me and you, but still at the same time.
I think things were better between us because we got to know each other better. Wow, we only have a minute left and counting.
I know. We spent a whole hour talking about this.
I bet you we bored the hell out of anyone that was listening.
Yeah, Andy, the only listener we have.
And the only person in the chat room.
But here's what we'll do. Tomorrow, we'll see who we can get on the air. All right?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. That was the Lunchtime Show. Thank you for listening on Talk Radio X this Wednesday, October 24th. See you tomorrow. Boom goes the dynamite.
How?
How now, Brown Cow?
The season finale of Damages now.
Gonna have me some fun.
You're listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of mobility.